Welcome to Agency Highway. This is a podcast for digital agencies and freelancers who want to grow their business, earn more, and work less. Each episode, you'll hear from agency owners that are killing it, meet epic people that can help you along your journey, or just listen to me ramble on about something I think is cool. Head to agencyhighway.com for transcripts, action notes, and to join the community. I'm your host, James Rose. Now, let's get into it. This podcast is brought to you by Content Snare. Content Snare helps digital agencies get content from their clients on time, in the right format, without email. If you've ever needed to get content from clients, you'll know how painful it can be. You end up constantly chasing them for weeks and months, and by the time it's ready, there's a 900-long email trail full of massive images and a couple of brochures from 6 years ago. Content Snare makes this a thing of the past by collecting content from your clients in the right format the first time and does all the chasing for you. Try it on your next project by signing up at contentsnare.com. G'day and welcome back to another episode of Agency Highway. Today we've got Laura Elizabeth on the line from Client Portal and, well, various things. We'll get into all of those soon. Thanks for joining me, Laura.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So I always like to start off with a question. What's the best thing that's happened to you this year?
So the best thing that's happened to me this year is I finally went from freelancing to creating digital products full time. And I did that in February. So it was right at the beginning of this year. And I still can't believe it's been less than a year that that's been happening. But yeah, that's the absolute best thing that's happened.
Yeah, I get that feel too. Like my time, sense of time is totally warped over the last sort of 12 to 18 months, basically since launching Content Snare. And I'm just like, yeah, time is like fast and slow at the same time. My mind's just a total scramble.
So yeah, it's so weird. It's like, oh, where's the year gone? But then it's been like, this has been the longest year ever.
So yeah.
I don't actually know what I think.
Yep, I absolutely feel you on that one. Yeah, and that's actually a good thing you brought that up, because that's kind of what I wanted to start on. And, you know, like your journey, how you've started in freelancing and now you're pretty much, yeah, well, you're 100% product-based in a way. Courses and an actual software product. So that's like a very cool journey. So let's get into that. Like, how did you start as a freelancer, I assume, and then how'd you get to here?
Yeah, so I actually started when I graduated university. I worked in a design agency for I think about a year or something. And I was, you know, when I was working in the design agency, I was straight from university, so I didn't really feel like I was that good at design. So I took on some freelancing clients on the side. I just used Upwork. I think back then it was called Elance and now it's Upwork. Got some really super low paying, you know.
Odesk.
Could not.
Sorry to correct. I was like, I have to work this out. I remember that now.
Odesk. Yeah, like super low paying, could not make a full-time living from that. But I put a lot of effort into the work because I wasn't doing it for the money. I was doing it for some experience with real life projects.
Yeah.
But over time, that ended up going really well. And I get referrals and people wanted to hire me for higher paying projects. And it got to the stage where I was making the same amount of money that I was working at the agency than I was with the part-time freelancing. So to me, it was kind of a no-brainer. Let's just do freelancing. I don't have to go to work. I'm working for myself, which I always really struggled working for someone else. I just struggled to be super motivated about it. So yeah, after about a year, I went freelance full time, and then I did that for about 7 years or so. And yeah, like I mentioned, from February this year, I've been full time on products. And you know, just a little bit of background into how I got into that. My main product, as you mentioned, is called Client Portal, and it's basically a dashboard where clients can see where you are in the process. They can see their deliverables. You know, it's a really nice looking thing to give to your clients. I made it for myself, and I started speaking at a lot of freelancing conferences about how to freelance better. And I'd mentioned this portal, and people would say, you know, where can I buy this? And I thought, well, it's not for sale, but I guess it could be. So I made it into an actual product. I started selling it. It became really popular. And yeah, like I said, so I took on my last client project in January. Wouldn't necessarily say that I wouldn't take on any more, but I haven't had the time, truthfully, since then. So yeah, that's my story.
Yeah, that feel. It's like, because we still have a couple of client projects that we're sort of just finishing. Like we've wound up one, but I know they're going to come back and want like a round two, like a phase two of their website. And but every time it comes in, I'm like, oh, crap, like I've got to take time off the product business, you know, off Content Snare and off Agency Highway. And and I just wanted to say too that that client portal is awesome. So I've used it as a customer, and I've seen many people that love it in our Facebook group and everything. So yeah, like I can vouch for what you're doing.
Yay. Cool. Good to know.
Just back on what you talked about at the start. This is a totally random question that you might not know the answer to. Do you know anyone that is still using Odesk and Upwork and that kind of thing? Like to get their start? Because a lot of people hate on them, right? I see a lot of hate for it. But at the same time, I've seen people that have found really good developers through it or whatever. You know, granted, they might be costing $100 an hour. But there are some people that are looking for good devs, and I'm wondering if you know anyone that's actually done well.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I would use it as founder, I suppose that's what I'd be called. I would use it to find someone. It depends what you need it for. If I wanted to hire a consultant, I probably wouldn't go to Odesk or Upwork or something. But if I needed, say, for example, I needed some video editing or something like that, I'd probably check it out and see what's on there. And I do know other freelancers who do, I don't know if they still do, to be honest, but I know that they also got their start with those kinds of things, because freelancing can be really tricky. So, you know, I know people who have said, you know, I'm kind of embarrassed to use Elance or Upwork or whatever we're calling it. But to be honest, I have bills to pay, and it's kind of easier to get jobs there. So I'm going to do it. You know, you've got access to this humongous audience, which a lot of people don't have on their own. Maybe they're trying to build that. So I still think I wouldn't ever say to someone, absolutely don't do that. Like if you need to do it, do it. Try to charge a reasonable amount, work on your value proposition, you know, try to stand out from the other people, and try to move away from it, but there's no shame in doing that.
Yeah, so that was kind of my thoughts too. It's like they both get a bad rap, and there's so many names out there. I think the two now are freelancer.com and upwork.com, because there was like three or four mergers where there was like five of them before, and now they're all combined into two, but of the major ones anyway. But yeah, like, I don't know. That was just a random sort of sidetrack that I thought it might be worth talking about, because maybe there is some work to be had there. You know, like I've found some very, very good developers that we don't pay peanuts. You know, like I think the usual conception or feel is that it's all for cheap stuff and it's like a race to the bottom there. But I think you can, you know, I've seen people that are charging pretty good amounts there, and whether they get work, I don't know, but.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you can definitely find people. And, you know, if you, I always like the idea of hiring maybe three people or something to do a test project.
Yeah.
And then you get to feel for working with them. And then you can take it off Upwork if you want to, or you can keep it there if you like the system. A lot of people are happy to take it off Upwork because they can charge higher amounts. You don't have to go through that. Yeah. You
know, I'd probably check the terms and conditions. I'm not sure how allowed that is. But
I really?
I know people do it though.
I imagine that's hard to police. Yeah, but yeah.
Extremely true. Hard. yeah, anyway, so one thing I don't know a lot about is your course. So how did that come about? You have a course for developers that want to learn design, right?
Yep, that's it. Yeah. Yes. Yes, design for developers, or developers who want to learn design. Bit of a tongue twister. So that was actually, that actually kind of came before Client Portal and after Client Portal in a strange way. So when I was freelancing, I knew that I wanted to get into products because it seemed more stable. It kind of seemed, I was getting a little bit bored of freelancing. It kind of seemed a bit more fun, new challenges. And I knew that I needed to build an audience. And most of my clients when I was working were developers. And, you know, we were working on these big projects with them. but they all had these smaller side projects that they wanted to try, but they didn't know how to make them look good. So they, you know, they couldn't really afford to hire anyone at that point because they hadn't made any money from it, but they wanted to kind of put it out there to see if it would work, and have it look half decent. So I thought that's a pretty good target to have. You know, it's people in my audience anyway. I might as well try and get more of them. So I was trying to grow my audience, and I was thinking I'm going to do a course on design for developers. Mm. And I was growing this audience for years, just really slowly. Like I was doing, speaking at conferences, doing guest posts and stuff, but I wasn't like all in trying to grow this audience. And it was always that thing I was going to do one day when I got time. The problem was I never actually got time, and creating a course is really hard and it's really time consuming. And even though I knew that, I didn't really know that, if that makes sense. I didn't know how difficult it was going to be. So I never got time to do it. So it was actually really fortunate that Client Portal came along, because that gave me an income that I could then scale back my freelancing and focus on the design course. And in the end, I ended up stopping all work on freelancing, and Client Portal was kind of humming along quite nicely. And I pretty much dedicated full time for about, I think it was 2.5 months or something, just I was pretty much doing 7 days a week creating this course. That's how much work it was. And yeah, that launched on April 25th, because it actually, I completed it on my birthday. So yeah, that was a pretty awesome time.
Very good. So where can people check that out?
So that's at designacademy.io. And you've got a blog, there's a ton of free resources if you want to learn about design and stuff like that. And yeah, you can find that there.
There you go. All right, cool. So go and check that out. And we'll drop a link in the show notes about that as well. And we'll probably mention at the end of the show again, in case you want to keep listening. I hope you do. And then so you don't forget about it. We'll mention it at the end. So what I want to talk about now is I guess, the most important things you learned as a freelancer that other agencies and freelancers can apply to their business.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot. There's a lot of really important things that I learned. But I think for me, one of the most important things was client experience. So back when I was freelancing, I guess I kind of struggled to differentiate myself a bit. And I knew that I relied a lot on referrals. And so I wanted people to refer me. Referrals were my best clients because they were so easy to sell, because they've come from a trusted source. I could typically charge more for them than someone who just maybe found me from my website and was looking at 4 different freelancers or something and just kind of comparing like in a table-like view. So referrals were a really big part of my business. And I found that giving my clients a really good experience made me more referable. So I wanted them to be super happy with the project. I wanted them to have the experience of working with an agency while just working with a freelancer. Because that was another roadblock I got. You know, I got a lot of people wanted to work with an agency and they wanted to be kind of wooed and wined and dined and all that kind of thing. And I couldn't really do that.
Yeah.
So I had to find other ways to give them a really good experience. So, you know, I did things like the first thing I did was I pretty much mapped out my entire process for a few different clients, down to the most minuscule detail of sent this email, you know, got response to this email, you know, super step-by-step, everything I could think of that happened in a project. And I kind of go through that and I'd say, okay, what can I template? What can I not automate's kind of the wrong word because I guess templating is probably the better word. You know, what can I do to make this awesome? So I wanted to make every single email amazing. I wanted to make every single document I sent them amazing. And I tried to just go through and think about what I could make repeatable for every single client. So that included things like emails, worksheets. I made a nice contract that I actually took the time to understand what the contract was saying, which I think a lot of people don't do. You know, so if someone, you send a contract to someone and they're like, what does this mean on page 23? And you can say, ah, that means blah.
You know, I took the time. Like, oh, I forgot that's in there.
Yeah, exactly. Because I really didn't want to be caught out by like some random clause that I didn't even know was in there that made me look really stupid. Because I also kind of felt like, you know, I wanted people to take me seriously. I was young at the time. Hopefully I still am relatively young, but I was younger at the time. And yeah, I just wanted to be taken seriously like a professional.
That's such a good attitude though, that you want to make every like touch point with the client amazing, you know, whether it's documents, emails, all that sort of stuff. That's a really good attitude to have. And I think it's hard to do when you're really busy too. Like I get lazy sometimes. Like if I'm on having a day that I'm just so flat out, my emails will probably get short and sharp, you know, and probably not very nice. So I think that's a very, very good attitude to have. So how did you make that happen? Like, yeah.
Yeah. So with things like, you know, like you say, when you're going to get busy, if you're a freelancer and you're an agency, things are going to get really, really busy. And that's why it's actually so important to spend some time and do this kind of thing. So emails were actually a really big thing for me to get right. So I use a tool called Atext. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's kind of Mac like Text thing, Expander.
Yeah.
I think it's Mac only, and it's like Text Expander, but it's like $5 instead of 30 a month or something. and basically you just kind of, you just sort of write email templates in there, but you can put little, kind of input boxes where you want to insert something that's unique to the person. So you say, hey, first name, and then you say, blah, 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 we're going to start this project. I'm really looking forward to working with you on project name. You know, it doesn't have to sound as robotic as that. But the point is you can pretty much set up the perfect email, and it gives you the inputs to put something super personal in there. So they have no idea that this is a templated email, which is really cool. And, you know, I do things like, so I'd set up every Monday for my clients, I'd want to do a check-in with them, because my theory was if a client came to me and asked me, where are we in the process, or just wanted an update or just wanted to check in, then I've failed, because they shouldn't need to want to do that. They should be always happy with how the project is going and always feel confident that it's moving forward. So they knew that on a Monday, they would get an email from me, and the email would have like three headings. I think it was what we covered last week, what I'm working on this week, and things I need from you. So this would be maybe some questions that didn't get answered, or, you know, I need some feedback on this, or, you know, whatever it is. They'd have those three headings, and they just know exactly where the project is at any time.
That's awesome. Like,
yeah,
not many people take the time to do that.
Yeah, and it doesn't really take that much time, but apart from setting up initially, and to be honest, even that doesn't take up much time, but it was just making the decision to do it. And you can use that when when you're onboarding a client, you can say, look, I'm going to send you an email every Monday so you know where the project is. And with some clients, I wouldn't do this with all clients, but with some clients who needed it, I would also do a weekly call with them. And that would be, say, on a Thursday. So, you know, you get your email on Monday, we have a call on Thursday, and that's just where we go through everything that's been going on this week. And you can ask me any questions, because I had an issue where, you know, if I was working on sometimes I was working on like seven projects at a time, which is a lot for one person. Yeah. And I'd have an issue with clients emailing me in with random questions, and I was trying to focus on one project, but they were emailing me about another and they wanted a response straight away, and it was really hard. So, you know, I'd say, you know, we're going to have a call every Thursday. So they'd kind of save their questions for the call.
Yeah.
Which really helped my inbox.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So just all these little things, just with communication, and it's nothing too glamorous. But it's nothing too difficult. And I think, you know, if you're a freelancer, it's really important to do this kind of thing, because you're going to really thank yourself. Like every time I sent my templated emails, I was like, thank you, past Laura, you're awesome. but as an agency, you've probably got a bit more resources to do this. So there's kind of no excuse really, if you've got a project manager or something, to set these things up. You know, they can keep on top of it. They have a really good idea of what things are repeated. So it's an unglamorous task, but if you can set aside a couple of days to just work on it and hammer it all out, then you will be very happy.
Yeah, and like you just said there, it's the kind of thing that you could fairly easily turn into a process for a project manager or someone to do, like a account manager or something, where you just have a recurring task that pops up every Monday or Friday or whatever, whenever it happens to be, with a basic template in your headings to say, this is what we did last week, this is what we're working on this week, and this is what we need from you. That's actually, yeah, it's like very easy to do a process for that for someone else to handle.
Yeah. And that actually, that mentality helped me when I was putting it together, because that's exactly what I was thinking. I always wanted to hire a VA. I never actually did when I was freelancing. I never got around to it. But when I was creating these processes, I was imagining that I was talking to this assistant that I was going to hire one day. And I still have them. I have like Google Docs of, whereas I'm telling my assistant that I don't have, in these, like, you know, in this crazy detail, including things like login information, you know, just like a step-by-step process of what you need to do. And that was actually really good, because even though I always thought, oh, I'll remember that, you know, this is my project, I know how to do that. Mm. It was actually so comforting. And so it made it so much easier having it all in one document. You know, I didn't have to go find login information. I didn't have to find the URL for my proposal software. It was in this one document. So even though I didn't hire someone, I think writing these processes as if you are going to hire someone for that job is really effective.
Did you find it very time consuming? Like, I'm just asking because I find when I'm creating processes, especially if you're using something like Google Docs, which is quite simple to use, you know, you can paste in screenshots really easily and just type up what you're doing step by step. I find it doesn't seem to add that much time to the actual task. I don't know. Did it take you a while to set up?
No, it didn't take me a while at all. It was kind of messy, to be honest. And actually, one of the things that I thought back then, and I actually do have an assistant now, and one thing that I do now is, instead of doing the Google Doc and me writing it out, I'll record a quick video. So I use Loom, which is like it's just a browser extension where you can really quickly and easily record videos that automatically get uploaded.
I'll back that up.
So good. And it just gives you a link straight away that's copied to your clipboard. So you don't have to upload anything. You don't have to find a link. It's great. Yeah. And you can ask your VA to create a document out of that. So, you know, I want a bunch of SOPs, which are standard operating procedures. Here's a video. Can you create a doc from this video that we can just have on file in the future? So that's an even easier way to do it if you already have someone that can do that, is just record a quick video.
Yeah, absolutely. You might need an SOP on how to create SOPs though. Cause like I've seen people do that. Yeah, like to how you format things and that. But I was just asking that because it came up in the group as a question the other day where someone said or asked, you know, they don't have the time to create processes. Like how do you get the time to do this kind of thing? And I didn't actually know how to answer it because I was like, you just kind of have to make the time and it isn't actually that much time. Once you do it once or twice, it becomes pretty simple.
Yeah. I mean, I can tell you, there's a couple of tricks that I did, because I know what you mean. It really is as simple as you've got to make the time. That's all there is to it. And you can make the time. You really can. But I know you don't always want to. It's not really that. I actually found it really fun, but some people might not find it.
Yeah, me too. Because then it's like, I think like anything you're going to do more than say twice, I'm creating the process going like, yes, I don't have to do this again. I can give it to someone else the next time.
Yeah, it feels amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, for those people who it doesn't feel so amazing for, a couple of things that I did that really helped is I set myself, you know, I'd set like a day. It would actually be a Sunday, probably, because I always liked Sundays. Sundays feel good. I don't know why. And I'd go to my favorite coffee shop. And that would be my day that I'm just going to map out the process. And I'd plan it on paper because I like planning things on paper. And I'd just, you know, plan everything. So that's really helpful, is making, I guess, the environment a nice one, you know, get a really nice latte or something from your favorite shop. That can help, and just set an actual date that you're going to do it. And another thing that can help, which is probably more effective, is saying, okay, so I've got a new client that's signing up that we're going to start a project with on Tuesday. I want to get this, this, and this out of my process done. So, you know, a lot of a lot of what you're going to need to do is create things like worksheets, or, you know, a, say you don't have a contract yet or some, a contract template yet, which I know a lot of people don't have, or I want a good proposal template or whatever it is. You say, for this client, I'm going to create that template, and it's going to be the template I'm going to use with this and every ongoing client. And it will take you longer to create that, especially if you're me and you're a designer and you kind of feel like you have to make everything look good, which is such a burden sometimes. It would take a lot longer to do that. But once you've created it for that client, you can use it for everyone else. And you have a very solid deadline, because the client's starting work on Tuesday, you need it by Tuesday, you've really got no excuse. So, you know, if you struggle with motivation for that kind of thing, those two things helped me.
Yeah. And like that's the key to like that template thing, because that's one of the biggest problems we have with content snare, right? As people sign up and they don't want to invest any time in it up front. But like it's the same as standard operating procedures. It's a little bit of time now is going to save you a ton of time later. And it's one of those things, if you want to make that improvement, you have to do it. Yeah, maybe find a way to enjoy it like I did, thinking that I'll never have to do that stuff again. So.
Yeah, exactly. And once you've had that time when you're so busy and you're so stressed and everything's miserable and you're getting emails left, right, and center, you know, maybe everyone just needs to be in that pit of despair before they can actually do that. I definitely experienced that. So.
Oh, yeah. But that's almost too late, right? Because then you're like, oh, I've got no time to create processes.
Yeah, but it always ends. Nothing is forever. So when it ends, you just think, I do not want that to happen again, ever. And then you do it.
Yeah, awesome. Well, so how does Client Portal fit into all of this? Like what is your onboarding, like a sequence? I want to say sequence, but like, let's just talk about from like getting a lead in through to like delivery. We've got sort of the bits and pieces there where you're doing your weekly check-ins, but how about the, like just sort of almost start to finish summary and how Client Portal fits into that?
Yeah. So, I mean, what I would do is when I very first get a lead, I'd used Atext and I'd send them back with a few qualifying questions, which would include things like, is your budget over X? Which I actually, if I found a much better question or a much more effective question than what is your budget? If you say, what is your budget over amount you would like it to be over? That's pretty good, because people can just say yes or no. So you don't have that budget back and forth. So, you know, I do that. If they pass the qualifying questions, we'd probably jump on a call. I'm not necessarily saying my process was the best. I think if I went back in time, I would do some kind of paid discovery session. I actually didn't do that. I did a call with them and I would create a proposal for them. I used a tool called Newsy for my proposals, which I absolutely love. So I'd send that. If that got accepted, then what I would do is I would set up, for each client, I would set up a portal for them. So once they've paid the deposit and signed the contract, I would set up their client portal. And basically what that was is, not to go on too much of a tangent, but I really wanted some kind of project management software to use with my clients. I wanted something that they could keep everything up, so it wasn't just all scattered everywhere. And I tried things like Basecamp, which was really good. But I think Basecamp is better for large teams and maybe in more in-house companies. And I found that clients just weren't using it. So I wanted something simple, but really, really useful. So I just created a page on my website that was hidden behind a login wall that they could log into and see basically where they could see everything that was coming up in their project. In one go at the start of the project. So you'd have a few active modules. So this is the stuff, maybe, you know, you've got your contract in there, you've got your proposal in there already, you know, you can get your VA or something to upload those. And then you've got a bunch of inactive modules. So, you know, you can actually list out every single deliverable that is upcoming. So you've got, you know, different phases. So you've got phase one, the research phase, phase two, the design phase, phase three, the prototyping phase, or whatever, however you structure your project. And I really wanted them to actually just log in and see this this kind of roadmap in a way of where the project, the start and the finish of the project. And then as we go through the project, they can sort of unlock these different modules so they can see their deliverables. You know, maybe I give them some logo concepts that they need to check so I can unlock that module and they can see the logo concept. I do like a prototyping with InVision, which, you know, I could sync with my Photoshop files and it would get updated automatically. And they could actually go in on any day of the week and see what progress I'd made if they wanted to.
And download old documents if they ever want it, instead of emailing you to ask you for stuff that you've already sent.
That's, yeah, exactly. Which was a huge issue I always had. Like, people would email me like 6 months or a year after being like, hey, can you send me that logo that you did for me? And I'm like, how do you not have your logo? And sometimes it would be on like random hard drives or something. Like, it wasn't on my computer anymore and it would be so frustrating.
Yeah.
So yeah, I wanted them something that they could keep after the project was finished. They can log in, they can have that. They can go in at any time. Mm. You could put it on their website if, you know, the website's using WordPress, they could keep it on there. So yeah, in terms of the process, it would basically be once they've accepted the proposal, paid the deposit, I'd set them up with this portal, and I'd, you know, put in, you know, everything repeatable would already be in there. And then I'd just upload things that were relevant to that specific client, give them the login info, tell them about the weekly email, the weekly call, and yeah, pretty much go from
and that's,
there.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think you touched on there too around project management. And it's funny you mentioned that, because it's like another, like, I'd almost say project management is one of the biggest competitors that we have for content collection, right? Like, in a way, because a lot of people try to use their project management systems to get content from clients and get their clients to log in and see their tasks and do all the stuff. And I don't know many people that are having success with that, because clients just don't like learning new systems and having to do new stuff, right? And that's why we tried to make the front end, the client-facing side of Content Snare, so easy to use, right? So they click a link and type their content and upload their images and that's it. And it's like a similar sort of concept with Client Portal, yeah? They've just got a link that they go to, type in their password, and can see everything that you've done for them. So.
Exactly. And it can link to Content Snare. So, you know, you can have... So what I love about Content Snare is that it's basically doing one thing, but really well. So like you said, if you say to a client, hey, I need content for the website, most of the time, you're probably not really going to get anything back. If your projects are anything like mine, you're not going to get anything back. On a good day, you'll get something back, but it's not going to be very good, because clients don't necessarily know how to write content. And a lot of clients don't know how to write content for the web. So what I really like about Content Snare, not to go on too much of a tangent again, is the fact that it does that, and it kind of teaches you how to write content as you are writing the content, which I really like. And that's why I think, you know, Content Snare works really well with Client Portal, because Client Portal is not trying to be Content Snare. Content Snare is not trying to be Client Portal, and you can just kind of work pretty seamlessly with it. So.
Yeah, and it's almost like the same sort of thing when you're linking out to InVision, or like Project Huddle is another option where you can give clients like a little link to provide their design feedback, you know, so they could go into Client Portal. Again, it's just their one central place where they know they have to go, and then they click the, you know, the bit about design feedback, and it might send them over to InVision or whatever system you're using to give the feedback. Am I getting that right?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I love using really good software with my clients, and I don't use loads of software, but I use really good software. The problem is, you know, if you try and get a tool that does everything, like a lot of the project management tools, they do everything, but they don't necessarily do everything really well. So, you know, I'd want to use something like InVision, or Project Huddle is something that I came across recently. It was too late for me when I was freelancing, but I would actually probably have used that instead.
Yeah, it's golden.
It's awesome. Yeah, I can't. Yeah, can't believe how awesome it is. Anyway.
trying to line up those guys to come on the podcast too at the moment, actually. So pretty sure there'll be a podcast soon with the guys from Project Huddle.
Yeah, that would be good. I honestly think it's better than, from what I've seen, it's better than Envision. But I did really like Envision. So yeah.
It's awesome. Just really easy. It works really well. And you just have to set it up on your own WordPress install. Like, but I mean, that's not like an issue anymore. You can easily just fire up a new WordPress install on most hosting. So easy. And then just put it on a subdomain. I'd probably say, do people do something similar with Client Portal, or do they tend to put it on their own website?
So most people will put it on their WordPress website, but we do have a lot of people who really want to use it, but use something like Squarespace or just some different platform. Mm. And yeah, so we kind of recommend just get a WordPress website, just a blank one, and just put Client Portal on there. It's super easy to do. Yeah.
Would you ever consider setting up a hosted one?
So I've gone back and forth on this since the very at the minute, I'm saying no. I'm not keen on a hosted one, but you know, never say never.
Yeah, I just had a multi-site sort of set up in my head, you know, where people could pay for an account, and there's various tools where you could provision a multi-site all through one WordPress install, and they create their own. And anyway, this is another topic, but
it would be so awesome. I've thought about it in depth a lot. There's just so many variables, and
of course, yeah, and you've got something that works, and
I mean, yeah, it works and I love it, and yeah, it's good.
It's awesome. Well, I think that's pretty much the meat of the episode with the onboarding and client experience stuff, and there's been a lot in there, so I think a lot of stuff to take away, so I don't want to bombard people, so I might start wrapping it up.
Sounds good.
Yeah, so what's your favorite piece of technology right now?
Okay, that's a good question. So I actually, this is going to sound stupid, but I recently got a laser printer, like one of these really tiny ones. And it's like my favorite thing because I haven't been able to print stuff out for ages, and now I can print stuff out, and it's really, really fast. And I love
that
it.
That is awesome.
So yeah, it's probably that.
A printer that works. That's nice. Yeah. Cause I've got like two under my desk, and I'm not sure if either of them work right now.
And it's so tiny. It's like the tiniest little printer ever. So it doesn't take up any space. It looks cool. And I just love that it's laser. So it's not like I used to always have the inkjets where it was like,
yeah.
And now it just goes, oh, it's so good.
Yeah. Oh, I think I need an impression of a laser printer again. Can you? How does it go?
That's the laser one. That is chick, 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 chick. And
how much? So how much are they, out of curiosity?
This was only $100.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it was so cool. It was all on the because everyone's going back to school and university, and it was all in like the student, you know, it's like the student printer of the year. Mm. So I just grabbed it, and I suppose I wasn't expecting much. I think it only does black and white, but I don't really care about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've really missed being able to print stuff out. Probably not the most sexy piece of technology.
No, that's fine. And like, I love the random stuff the most, right? Like, no, that's cool. All right. So thank you for joining us. Where can people go to find more about you? So we've got client-portal.io. Where else would you like to send people?
Yeah. So you can check out that. You can check out Design Academy if you want, which is designacademy.io. I'm most active on Twitter. So if you actually want to say hi, you can follow me at Laurium, which is Laurium. And yeah, say hi and I'd love to chat to you.
Awesome. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. And yeah, so thanks for joining me.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, guys, that wraps up this episode. If you've enjoyed it, please share it with someone you think will get something out of it. And leave us a view on iTunes, because that's the stuff that really keeps me going, keeps me motivated to do this show. So awesome. See you next time.
Discover how to grow your agency, earn more, and work less at agencyhighway.com. Head over there to get resources from this episode and full transcripts. See you next time. This episode was brought to you by Content Snare. If you're a digital agency or just need to get content or info from your clients, Content Snare can help you collect it on time and without enormous email trails. Give it a try at contentsnare.com.